lakes and fields. Outdoor ramblings, outdoor ramblings. Rambling about the outdoors with Milton and O'Neill. Rambling about the outdoors with Milton and O'Neill.
Hello, folks. I'm Milton Crabapple, and I'm here with the ever-present, effervescent, always pleasant legend in the flesh, O'Neill Williams. We're here to bring you another episode of Outdoor Ramblings, and I hope you enjoy it. How you doing, O'Neill?
I'm doing fine. I was just thinking before you get started here this morning, because somebody asked me over the weekend, you're going to run out of stuff to talk about. I said, it'll take about 100 years.
Yeah, I don't believe. I may be wrong, but I don't believe either one of us is going to run out of stuff to talk about.
Not about the outdoors. No,
we're
sir.
We're never having 30 years. You know, speaking of the outdoors, you know what's coming up right now, what's opening up all over the South and all over the country is turkey season.
You bet.
I'm excited. I done been going through my stuff, trying to weed out things that I don't need. You know, I'm trying to get lighter on my feet these days.
Yeah, no kidding.
And I'm practicing with my turkey call. You know, I don't want to brag, O'Neill, but I've been told, and I'm a pretty good turkey caller. I've been told that, and actually,
I agree 100%. We spent several days in the woods, and yes, indeed, you're a good caller.
One of the episodes that I was telling a fella the other day about how good of a caller I am, he didn't much believe it, but several years ago, I was coming out of the woods. I'd been hunting all morning, and I never will forget this, coming down the edge of a field or some clear cut, and all of a sudden, over a little rise, right out in front of me, a turkey gobbled. He just fired off. Well, it like to scared me to death. He wasn't far away. I couldn't see him for there's a little rise there. So there was an old tree that had blown down, big old oak tree, laying on the ground. I just got out behind that oak tree and hid behind it. I called. He never did answer me. I called again a time or two, and he never did answer me. I waited as long as I could stand it. I didn't want to stick my head up because I was afraid he might be close by and he'd see me. But in that oak tree where it was laying on the ground, it lacked about 6 or 8 inches touching the ground. You could actually see underneath it. So I laid down, looked up under that oak tree, and I could see that rascal's feet on the other side of that oak tree. I could see him standing there, O'Neill.
Okay.
Well, before I could think about what to do, I just reacted. I just run my hand underneath that oak tree and grabbed him by the feet on the other side. Okay. Now, you talk about putting up a fight. Now, I'm telling you, he was flopping and squawking, but the tree was so big I couldn't reach over the top of it with my other hand to get a hold of him. I didn't know what I was going to do, and he was about to twist my arm off trying to get away from me. So finally, I just, in my other hand, I got my shotgun, and I got it ready. And I let go of him, and I called him around to the other side of the log, and when he come around there, I shot him. That was some good calling right there.
Yeah, that must have been, that's as good as you can get, calling right there. That's as good as you can get. But you're right, turkey season's coming up. What else you got?
Well, I just wanted to talk about that because, you know, everybody, turkey hunting's like deer hunting, like bass fishing, and everything else, I reckon, mosquito swatting, everybody's got their way they do it, and they think their way is the only way to do it. They get mighty, mighty touchy, mighty, mighty uptight sometimes about their techniques and the strategies. But a lot of people, when they especially start out hunting turkeys in the beginning, they want to know what's the most important thing to do. You know, you got to find a place to hunt and get permission where there's turkeys around. You got to know that there's turkeys to start with, and you got to have the right kind of gun. You need to know how to set up, what to look for, and you need to do some scouting. You need to know how to call, when not to call, what to wear, what not to wear, when to move, when not to move, all this kind of stuff. What do you think is, people ask this question, what's the most important thing that I need to know when I'm turkey hunting?
Well, the thing that I learned from you, and I got reminded of it the other day when we were chatting, and I forgot to respond in this fashion. Whatever it is you're doing, that's the most important thing. whether it's calling or camo or moving or shooting or whatever, that is the most important thing. That's not something for you to put off.
Yeah, that's true. You know, I learned that actually. I think that Roscoe Reams is the one that actually said that. I was probably just plagiarized him. Anyhow.
Roscoe was quite a hunter. I got the opportunity to hunt with him quite a few times. I think he's been deceased now for about 6 or 8 years. But he taught me about turkey hunting, the finer points of turkey hunting. But before I forget, and I probably will if I don't say it, I don't care where you go. I don't care how you call. All that stuff is secondary, because the first thing you've got to do, and you have time now before the turkey season begins, you have time now, you got to sight in your shotgun. You got to sight in your shotgun. I suggest you sight in two guns, you know, so that you'll have two ready, and you sight them in at 25 yards and at 30 yards and 35 yards and 40 yards. And sometimes with these new shots you have, new shells, some people need to sight in their guns at 50 yards. That wouldn't be my choice. Because I'm like you, I like to get the thing close, not close enough to grab him by the leg, but you know, close. That's the point.
Yeah, I'm not big on this long range shotgun stuff, because I don't care what anybody says, you're going to end up crippling some turkeys and coyote bait out there. You know, you can't shoot a turkey and blood trail him like you can a deer, because if he's bleeding, them feathers sop up all the blood and it don't never get to the ground. So he just runs off somewhere, and he's so well camouflaged, he may be laying on the ground 10 feet from you and you not see him. But they just, I got a fella that I've hunted with some, and he posted a thing the other day about turkey hunting. He said, I ain't never sighted in a shotgun.
Oh,
he said, I shoot them if they're within 30 yards, I shoot them. And if they ain't within 30 yards, they won the day.
Oh, well, that'd be one thing. But if it's a turkey he wants, you can, if you're not sighted in, you can miss completely at 30 yards.
You sure can. I never did figure how, before I started turkey hunting, I used to hear people say they missed one. They're using a 12 gauge. 3-inch magnum, and they missed a turkey. I said, now, you missed a 20-pound bird that was standing on the ground. He wasn't even a fly, and he was just standing on the ground looking at you, and you missed him with a 12-gauge shotgun with a 3-inch magnum loads of shells. I just thought, I just don't see how that's possible, you know, but I'm just like everybody else. I've missed a few of them, too.
Well, sure. Well, you know, if you don't go someplace to a range, and whatever state you live in, there are Department of Natural Resources places where you can go and put up a target and sight your gun in. I know I had, and I hadn't used it in a long, long time, I had a shotgun, and I was turkey hunting in Texas. Thanks goodness I had two, but I had one that I could not sight in. I could never get it where it was supposed to be hitting. Don't know what was going on with that gun, but you can miss totally at 30 yards.
You know, the number one problem that people have when they miss with a shotgun, now this includes birds flying, rabbits running, ducks on the water, it don't matter what it is, the number one thing that causes folks to miss with a shotgun is they shoot over it.
Yes.
Because they get excited and they don't get their head down. They don't get down on that barrel and look down the barrel. They, of course, shotgunning ain't aiming as much as it is pointing. You know, you aim a rifle, but you point a shotgun. You know, when a covey of quails get up, you don't draw a bead on one of them like you do with a 22 rifle. You just point, and you develop that instinct over the years.
Certainly.
But now, if you get excited, you're going to have a tendency to be looking at him and not be down on that barrel of that gun, and that's going to make you shoot over the top of them. I used to, back when they used to have turkey shoots all over the place. You remember those?
Oh, yeah.
American Legion and the JCs, and everybody in the world had turkey shoots going on. And we'd go, and one year, me and this other fellow, we was the one that was behind the hay bales. And okay. we was changing the targets every time after they'd shoot. You know, we noticed that the majority of folks were shooting high. They were shooting over that bead. I mean, that target, you know, they were just shooting over the top of it.
Well,
they ain't getting down on that barrel.
Well, that and number two in that regard is the turkey's head is not the target. If you shoot just at his head, then half of, if the gun is sighted in, half of your shot in that are automatically going to miss him. It's going to go over his head. If his face is the target, half the shot's going to miss him. So the target is down below.
That's right. Right on his neck, on his waddle.
That's right.
That's what you ought to be doing. You know, and of course, that argument goes on and on and on. But back to what we was talking about, though, you got lots of things you can't do in turkey hunting. You can't move if there's a gobbler standing out there trying to find you and he's out there. You can't scratch your butt, you know, or scratch your nose or anything, or swat a mosquito while there's a gobbler out there. And he's kind of like a submarine. You know, when he's coming over the hill, he just don't walk over. He sticks that neck straight up, turns that head and looks. He's like a periscope that goes up. He's looking around. And you may say, well, I was out there all morning. I didn't see a turkey, but there may have been a turkey or two or three that saw you.
And one of the things that leads to that, and you're good at this too. One of the things that leads to that, if you think you've got birds roosted, you got a good idea there's a turkey. Turkey's in this area. So you go and you set up next to a tree. Okay. Make yourself comfortable then. Because if you follow our lead, you may be sitting there 2 hours and you can't say, oh man, it's not very comfortable. Let me move around here just a little bit. No, he might be 35 yards right over there behind that bush, and you just scared him off.
Or 60 yards, 70 yards out there.
Yeah, well, absolutely. You got to get comfortable first, because you just walked in, and if he's close by, you already spooked him. So go ahead and make yourself comfortable.
And I'll tell you something else that's important. A lot of people don't realize. I've been guilty of this a lot myself, too. I hunt up in the mountains mostly.
Yeah.
So I'm walking across a hayfield to get to the mountain, and that mountain goes straight up, and them turkeys roosting up in there now. You need to get wherever it is you're going that morning before it starts to get daylight. And I don't mean when it's half daylight. I don't mean light enough for you to walk in there without a flashlight. I mean, because a fellow was telling me, he said, and I believe him, he said, when it's turkey can't see in the dark, their eyes ain't made that way. When it's dark, they're blind as a bat. But when it starts to get daylight and they get a little light, so they can read a newspaper across a football field. And they can see you coming across the woods or coming down a draw or going over the top of a ridge. They on the roost, and they can spot you from a mile away from up in there.
Oh, yeah. Well, there's so many things. And I'm the kind of guy who makes blanket statements. Okay. Now, that was a good point, and I'm going to support that point. Ready? If you can get to where you need to be in the morning, I got a spot. I know exactly where I need to be to start this hunt. Okay. If you can get to that spot without a flashlight, okay, I mean, then it's too light for you to walk in there.
That's true. That's true with deer hunting too.
Absolutely. And even if you just hold it down at your feet, it keeps you spatially. You know you're in the right territory. But mm-hmm. if you walk in there, and if you don't need it, if it's light enough for you to get in there without some help, then you're walking in too late.
And that's especially true with frog gigging too. Yes, sir. You don't need a light. You ain't going to get any frogs.
No, can't see them.
But you know, also now, we talk about calling. We talked about that earlier.
Oh, and I want to talk about that today.
I know you do. So go ahead and talk about it.
Everything, like we said, boy, everything that you do at the time is the most important thing. I say that I learned from, Roscoe, I learned from Roscoe by sitting next to him in the woods, not a conversation, by sitting next to him and hunting with him. What I learned from Roscoe is the biggest mistake next, or one of the big mistakes that turkey hunters make, is they call too much. They just love the sound of their calls. And they call, and they call, and they call, and they call. And the turkey over there, 125 yards away, he's saying, something's wrong with that. That's not a hen over there calling.
Yeah, he may have slipped in close enough to where he can see where you are, and he keeps hearing the calling, but he don't see no turkey over
that's
there.
That's right. If you've called two or maybe three times, and he has answered you once or maybe twice, he knows exactly where you are. You don't need to call. Especially if you don't have a decoy out there, because like you say, he comes over and takes a look, and he don't see a hen. He said, well, I'm going to go someplace else. It's not working.
That's true. And a lot of tricks that I use up in the mountains, you know, is I don't get set up in a place where they can see a half a mile. I get somewhere where they come over the top of the ridge or come around the corner. They're going to be in range about the time I see them.
Yeah, especially
because a lot of times,
decoy.
Especially with decoys. You know, you and me did this one time down there in middle Georgia. We had some decoys set up, and there was turkeys coming our way. A gobbler was, but he could see our decoys from about 150 yards away, and they wouldn't come to him, and he just said, well, the heck with y'all, and he just went on the other way. You know, you don't want them to see them decoys from too far away. I've had that mess me up a lot of times.
That was a mistake that day that we made. He could see those decoys, and he called, said, come on over, girls, and they didn't, so he left.
And now, you know what I would have done now if we hadn't been filming a TV show? Soon as he went in the woods, I'd have just got up and went on down that holler and come up and met him coming down through there, and I'd have got him. But, you know, we couldn't move that big blind and cameras and all that kind of stuff. You can't run and gun with a pop-up blind.
No. Well, I've said, and I did a seminar this weekend, to me, and it's just my opinion, that the Eastern wild turkey is the number one big game animal in North America, because you have to be camoed. You do for everything else. Shot placement has to be perfect, okay? You just don't shoot him in the body, because he'll get away. You shoot him in the body, he's going to get away, okay? You call and he answers. And you call and he answers again. And then two, for the turkey hunt, the most important part is you're taking him outside of what he ordinarily does. Ordinarily, the hen comes to him. So that makes him, the Eastern wild turkey, the number one big game animal in North America. There is no other match. Elk, moose, caribou, antelope, no matter what, quail, ducks will answer, but you're not taking them out of their ordinary routine. So that's why the Eastern is my number one big game animal.
He's the only thing I know. He's the only animal I know that'll make some folks take their shotgun and sling it plumb down through the woods and
yeah.
fall down on the ground and pound their fist and cuss
He'll
like
hurt your
sailor.
He'll hurt your feelings.
Your feelings. They'll embarrass you. They'll make you mad. They'll do everything in the world. But every now and then you get one of them what's called a do-right bird, and he just does everything right and comes in and makes you feel like you did. You
That's
really
right.
accomplished something.
That's right. And probably that bird that came in so easily, I'm just guessing, that bird that came in so easily, he wasn't the boss. The boss gobbler has got the hens with him.
That's probably the truth.
This guy has left out by himself. And he said, oh, ooh, that sounds like a nice lady over there. The big boy's got all the hens right here with him. I think I'll go over there.
I guess you just have to ask a turkey to know if that's true, but I would imagine that's true.
Well, that sounds right, doesn't it?
It does sound right. And, you know, I used to go and sit for hours and hours, a place that I knew turkeys, sooner or later during the day, some turkeys are going to come up this holler.
Yeah.
And I'd sit there for 6 or 7 hours sometimes. I think 7 hours was the longest I ever sat without,
yeah,
you know, going anywhere else. But I've got to be now where I'm more of a traveler. I like to do more running and gunning and not setting up and stayed set up all morning, moving around, covering some ground, trying to find one, get one to answer me. You know, I enjoy that more nowadays. My pack is a whole lot lighter than it used to be.
Oh, yeah.
Whole lot lighter than it used to be. I'm just kind of got myself more mobile.
I understand. Well, knowing that this is on Facebook over and over again, and you and I are not just talking to Eastern wild turkey hunters. We're talking to turkey hunters. In my judgment, the difference between the Eastern and the Osceola, which is a tough hunt, the Osceola bird down in Florida is a tough hunt like the Eastern is. But when you get to Texas and you get the Rio Grande and then the Miriam, okay, and then the Goulds, those, by way of comparison to the Eastern, those birds will practically come up meat out of your hand.
Yeah, I've been to Texas one time. Me and Dude went out there, and we each got our limit. We each got two gobblers on opening day.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, this fella told me, he said, you know, I have people mostly to hunt from out here and everywhere, but he said they come out here and they do good, and I have to teach some of them kind of how to hunt and kind of guide some of them. But he said, you fellas come out here from Georgia and Alabama and Tennessee, he said, y'all kill every turkey out here in a week if we let
That's
you do
exactly
it.
Exactly right.
That's true.
Well, I know that on a trip, gosh, Travis must not have been more than about 10 or 12 years old, and we went to Texas to hunt Rio Grandes, and we limited out the first day. Both of us killed two.
That's what we did.
The conditions must have been just right with regards to the number of hens and everything. But they practically ran over and committed suicide right in front of us.
Well, I know what you mean. I know what you mean. And a lot of it has to do with habitat. A lot of it, too, has areas where it's illegal to bait turkeys, too.
Yeah, that's right.
And you can keep them into an area. You can keep a high population of turkeys in an area if you could bait. But now you can't bait them in Georgia. I don't reckon in Alabama or
and they shouldn't.
Anywhere in the Southeast.
They shouldn't.
So that makes it rough. And you can put out a feeder and you can feed turkeys all you want to. You just can't hunt them within
sight. Right. I've done that a lot. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done that too.
Put out a feeder. Yeah. Keep them healthy. Keep them living there.
That's true.
Keep them happy.
And, you know, I'll tell you something else that just came to my mind. We're talking about movement now,
mm-hmm.
and how critical it is. You know, folks didn't used to wear a lot of camouflage clothing when they was turkey hunting. And now they just wore street clothes. They tried not to wear white socks, but that movement is a big key. Now, I was up in the mountains hunting a few years ago, and a prime example is I shot at this gobbler and missed him. He was up this ridge, and he come in from behind me, and I shot, and I missed him, and of course, it was just a little leaves coming off of this big mountain. So he flew across the holler to the next ridge, lit in a tree over there. And he didn't land for 5 minutes till he gobbled.
Uh-huh.
I said, well, I must not have hit him. He's over there gobbling. But I figured he could probably see me from where he was. And I had got out in the open there trying to see where, you know, watch him when he flew. So I just sat down on the ground. I wasn't up against a tree or nothing. I was out in the wide open, but I had on my camouflage and everything. And I just slowly sat down on the ground. And I was looking at that tree he was in over there, I'd say 100 yards away. And he gobbled two or three more times, and I'm just sitting there wondering, well, I don't know what he's going to do, but surely he knows I'm here because I just throwed a load in there on him when he come over that ridge. But anyhow, I heard something behind me. What? What? And I said, that's a turkey coming up behind me. And what it was a hen that was coming to him. Now, knowing what I know now, I should have moved and run her off, you see, because she was coming to him. But I didn't move, and she come by me 8 feet from me, walked by me, and never saw me. And I was sitting out in the open. I wasn't up against a tree or nothing. I was just sitting there on the ground. But I didn't move. And she come by me, and she got just beyond me, and she flew over there where he was, lit in a tree close to him. And then I watched them. They both flew down on the ground, and they went on off in the opposite direction.
Right.
But now, I was not up against a tree. I wasn't in no blind or nothing. And she just about walked over me going over there to find that gobbler. You know, so now I learned from that was a bad mistake. If I'd have just put my hand behind me and wiggled it a little bit, she'd have seen me, and she wouldn't have gone over there to him. And he might end up coming back over there where
Could've
I was.
Been. Could have been.
Looking for me, you know. But
that's what makes it so exciting. She don't know what you look like.
No, she don't.
You're just a tree stump or just
a tree stump
or something out there in that field, and she doesn't know. And that turkey that you shot at and missed, he wasn't up there in that tree saying, "Damn, that guy just missed me." Whew, boy.
No, he didn't even know what it was.
He didn't know anything.
He didn't know what it was. He heard the explosion, I guess, heard stuff whizzing over his head. But you know, they're difficult. Tom Kelly, you know, I just saw a story the other day. He just killed a turkey this last year, 94 years old.
Oh, yeah.
And he just killed a turkey.
That's right.
That tickled me to death reading that. But, you know, he was talking about turkeys and movement and how skittish they are, you know, different than deer. Deer's curious.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes they see you and they don't know what you are, and they stomp their foot on the ground and move around, try to goad you into moving and giving.
Well, and that pounding on the ground, that's his signal to any other turkeys, any other deer that are around there, that everything's not just right. Y'all pay attention,
but now turkeys don't pay attention.
Yeah, the other deer can feel that.
They can. I'm sure they can if their mother's with him. And, you know, Tom Kelly said a deer comes through the woods and sees a man, thinks he's a tree stump. And said a turkey sees a tree stump and thinks it's a man. That's why you just can't move. If a turkey sees anything or hears anything unusual or something don't add up at all, his number one response is just to turn around and get out of there as quick as he can. He ain't got a curious bone in his body. Nowhere.
Nope. I got a couple of things here I want to be sure and say during this right here. Okay. There, at a turkey seminar I went to this weekend, thankfully, there were 6 or 8 youngsters there that looked like they were 8, 9, 10 years old. And it reminded me of Travis, to the audience, my grandson, who lives in Oklahoma and is an outstanding hunter. And the point is, when he was in high school, he could have played football. He's a tough guy. but football's in the fall. It's deer season. But he was a famous deer hunter. And the principal of the school called him to the office every Monday morning to see what Travis did hunting the previous weekend.
Isn't that something?
So you don't have to be a famous football or a baseball player. You can be a talented, respected person by being an outdoorsman and a hunter.
You need to become famous at what you love.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, and then I'll shut up about it. Hunting and fishing and all that lasts a lot longer than high school football.
Yeah, Tom Kelly didn't play football last weekend.
That's right, at 94. Yeah,
but he killed a turkey.
Yeah, yes, indeed.
Ain't that something? Well, I think you got anything else you want to throw out to the folks about turkey season here before it opens?
Well, no, I don't think so. I thought I had a second thing, but my brain is worn out from talking about turkeys. But yeah, that, you know, what we established this morning, and of course, is the only thing maybe I want to say is I'm not a fabulous natural hunter. But I went with a lot of people who were. I know, and then I'll be quiet about it, but Roscoe Reams started turkey hunting in the 1940s. And he worked for Delta Airlines, so he got to fly anywhere he wanted to go to hunt. And in his lifetime, he either killed, bagged, or was with somebody like me to bag. He killed over 500.
How about that? Ain't that something? He was killing them back before folks knew they was here.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
He wasn't telling nobody about it either.
And he didn't.
No, he didn't. That's true.
But he taught people like me about that, and about, because I'm the last time I turkey hunted with Roscoe, and we got a mature bird, okay, that I took. Roscoe called 2 times, and that was all. That was a lesson for me.
First one I got, I called 2 times. I called once the turkey, and then I called my crabapple to tell I got one. Yes,
well, I enjoyed it. I always learned something from you.
Tell us about your book, O'Neill.
Oh, well, O'Neill Outside, 65 Years in the Outdoors, the People and Places Along the Way. And one of the stories in that book is that trip that I took with Roscoe Reams.
How about that? Well, yeah. That's you.
And I read it the other night and enjoyed it because I got to relive all those adventures.
You know, I can get you an autographed copy of
you. You can? Okay.
If you want me to.
I've got one right over there.
Yes, sir.
All right. Well, enjoyed it, my good friend.
And, you know, I mentioned it last time. I think we're resurrecting a lot of my old recordings. I recorded 6 albums down at Southern Tracks Records back in the 1980s and early 1990s. We recorded them live down at Bill Lowry's Southern Tracks Studios down there. Had a great time doing it. And so people said, I sure would like to get a hold of some of those. And I said, well, Mike, maybe we need to. Mike, my producer, we need to get pull them back out and make them available again. So the first one that we've got available is Stir Fried Groundhog. I think that's one of my best ones. Maybe my favorite one. It's probably got about 3 songs on there that I did, and lots and lots and lots of stories. So you can check it out there at MiltonCrabApple.com. And
I will do that. Unless I forget, you can get O'Neill Outside book at Amazon.
There you go. Well, O'Neill, this has been fun, and we're going to do it again. We're going to keep doing it. I'm really enjoying doing this podcast with you.
Yeah, I learn something every time.
A lot of great responses. People said they just love listening to us. They love the stories. They love learning stuff. And I couldn't think of anything I'd rather do than just sit and talk about it. So, folks, I hope you enjoyed this episode of Outdoor Rambling. Stay tuned for the next one. And in the meantime, keep your nose to the wind, your eyes along the skyline. And remember this, if you hear somebody yell, low bird, don't forget to duck.
Outdoor ramblings, outdoor ramblings, rambling around the woodlands, the rivers, lakes, and fields. Outdoor ramblings, outdoor ramblings, rambling about the outdoors with Milton and O'Neill. Rambling about the outdoors with Milton and O'Neill.